Hello and welcome everyone to Combox Live, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Bahram Qazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, and with me is Varun Alvaconda, who you cannot find anywhere even if you try. And then we've got Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. We are here to review India's India's 5-wicket victory over the West Indies with 4 balls to spare at the Eden Gardens in Kolkata in what was a virtual quarter-final between both teams. And what a remarkable game of cricket that was. Very, very enjoyable. And it was definitely, all those people who went out there to watch this live, this game gave them their money's worth.
Yeah, no, I think it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And I suppose maybe towards the end, it was very hard for the West Indies to get over the line right towards the end. But up until that point, there was plenty going on. Probably, to be honest, that loud noise you might hear at the moment, it's not Bayram's microphone from the other episode. It's everyone trying to backtrack really quickly on Sanju Samson takes, I think, is what you're hearing. Is that the whole internet we're hearing here, Varun?
Indeed,
Jared. Varun has been doing victory laps in the chat all day, by the way, guys.
Have I?
You kept saying validation over and over again, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Justice for Sanju. Let's go, lads. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, Varun, how it works is we're on a podcast at the moment, and if you could say the things you were saying off air, on air, that won't get you canceled.
I don't remember half the stuff I say in the chat, Jared. You can't expect that. Yeah, lots of things.
Yeah, I mean, Varun and Shaya just never shut up in that chat, do they? At times, almost gets annoying. I'm trying to sleep here. Yeah.
I mean, he did change his game today. He made a very, name for himself, making 25 or 15 every game. He didn't do that today. So this was the game to not have that, I think. He did a good job, I think he did.
Weirdly,
he stayed the chase really well.
I mean, if you think about it, he did Abhishek's job for him to start with, and then he actually went on and did Sky's job as well. Like, he kind of did everyone else's job. I mean, okay, here's the big question. The West Indies probably outplayed India today, right?
Yeah, barring Sanju.
Mm.
Right? I mean, it's not like the West Indies also had one player go absolutely nuts. They had lots of different cameos.
Hmm.
I think I might have said outfielded in the main video, but to be fair, they were both pretty poor at the field at times.
Yeah,
but certainly, I mean, you would have to say that, you would have to say, all things considered, that the West Indies team probably were the better of the two teams. It's just that Sanju Samson was so much better within that it didn't make any difference, right? And that is why you pick a player like
closer
Sanju
to their potential than India did is probably the better way I would put it. I don't know if that's necessarily the better on the day.
Well, they batted better. You take Sanju Samson out, they batted better.
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought they moved their bowlers around fine. Like, I didn't think India did particularly well, so maybe that's a draw. But it's not like India were better tactically than the West Indies.
Hmm.
I didn't think that India bowled better than the West Indies. I thought they were both
true.
Fairly, that's what I'm saying. Like, Sanju is such a big swing player in this game because no one else really from India has a great game. There's a couple of guys that chip in, but West Indies have lots of guys who chip in. They just don't have a Sanju Samson, right?
Yeah. Well, West Indies also had a Shea Hope who scored 32 of 33.
There is that. I mean, to be fair, Abhishek Sharma scores what, 10 of 10?
10 of 11.
India chase 195 with a shit. Abhishek, Sky and Hardik innings, right? It's kind of insane in the end.
All it took for Abhishek to start batting like Shea Hope was for Jared to call him Air Abhishek. And he was like, no, hold up.
I want to be a proper player now. I would like to knock the ball around
Start this game, I think if someone had asked you who would make 40 of 25, who would make 10 of 11 of Abhishek and Ruston Chase, well, who would you pick?
My God, how can we be 4 minutes and 22 seconds in before we bring up Ruston Chase? That was mind-blowing. Oh, I have no idea what happened at the start of this game because I was just deeply going into, is it possible that Ruston Chase has ever played like this before? And the answer is once in his entire life. And then you can almost see him go, whoa, 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 I've gone too far. I'm going to touch the sun. I'm like Icarus. I'm going to touch the sun and melt. I've got to come back. It's just like when Heddy came in, he's like, I'll get singles. No, just keep slogging, you giant freak. Just keep hitting the ball. But that one was it. Who was the one who hit over the leg side for 6?
Pandya.
Was it Pandya? Hardik Pandya?
Yeah.
I thought it might have been Ashdeep.
Pretty sure, actually.
That shot. I don't know. I've been watching Ruston Chase my entire adult life, it feels like, at this point. I'm not sure he's ever had a dream of playing that shot, let alone of actually playing it himself. Just what a bizarre thing. But, you know, me and Rob were both saying they should send in pinch hitters. And then Ruston came out. We're like, what? They actually did send Ruston Chase in to pinch hit. This wasn't you know, Andy McBrien or Imran Khan. This was proper pinch hitting from a guy who has never hit the ball off the square in his entire life.
Never in my wildest imagination or dreams would I have thought that Roston Chase would have scored 40 off 25 coming to open the batting. You should have seen Saad and my faces on the Pro Sports Live. We were like, Roston? What the hell? You ramping Bumrah for four? Like, mate, what am I watching here?
He's ended up with a strike rate of 160, which is one of the highest strike rates he's ever had in his career. And I feel disappointed because at one stage it felt like he was going to end up with like 220. At one stage it was like he was going to do the Sanju Samson, right? Where he was just going to keep going. But the difference is with Sanju Samson is he's done it before. It makes sense, right? So when he was, I can't remember, was he 35 off 14 or something like 12 or something like that, right? And he had a strike rate above 200. Only once in his entire 14-year career had he ever had an innings of scoring more than 30 runs at a strike rate of 200. And how do you game plan for this if you're India? Like, of all the things you think is going to happen, surely the last thing is Roston Chase open. He's never opened for the West Indies before. He's only ever opened twice in his 14-year career. I'm going to keep saying that. 14 years he's opened twice before. There's no way you can game plan for that. And then if Roston Chase comes out, what are you thinking next, guys? You're thinking, great. Well, we don't have to worry about that end because he's just going to block the absolute crap out of it. And Roston's like, no. I'm going to ramp Jasprit Bumrah. You guys have never seen anything. I've been waiting 14 years to unleash hell. And here's the day. And I'm Andre Russell for no reason at all.
I mean, so it was funny, a good move because it upped the volatility, right? That's what West Indies did in the end. And the gamble paid off, right? There's another timeline, as we keep saying, that he could have been like 15 or 15 and it looks like a dumb move, isn't it? Yeah, right? If Roston Chase had did what Shea Hobb did, everyone would be cursing Darren Sammy for doing that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they definitely chose to up the volatility in a weird manner because when they announced the team, Akil Hussain replaced Brandon King. So I was like, okay, they don't have an opening batter, but it maybe makes sense to load up the spin bowling options because we've seen India falter against spin at times. It was a bad toss to lose, though, because Sky knew that they will be due in the second inning. So him opting to field first does give India a bit of an edge, and then we did see due eventually. But Saad and I were discussing who should come out and open. We were like, okay, there is the obvious Roston Chase thing happening over here because he's listed as number one in this sheet, but you might as well send Gurdakesh Mothy or Matt Ford, maybe take, you know, a punt with those guys. But Roston comes out and then does his bit, 40 of 25. We were all shocked. No one can still process what we've witnessed over there.
I think that's the incredible thing is that they had three actual pinch hitting options and they picked the least likely. I think I've told this story before, but there was one ODI game where I've never heard Jason Gillespie talk about this before, but one ODI game where Jason Gillespie was sent in as a pinch hitter. And I remember as Australian fans all going, isn't this the guy who just blocks every single ball? Like, he doesn't even have a backswing. Why is he being sent out? And that's how I felt when Roston Chase came out. I was like, have you guys seen your own batting order? What are you holding Ford back for? If Ford has to come out and bat in this inning.
He made 26 of 30, Jared, Jason Gillespie in that game.
Did he?
Yes.
I mean, maybe.
Versus South Africa, right?
It was fine. Yeah. I mean, but I still remember being shocked that he came. There were some weird people who were, I think there was an Indian player as well that was a pinch hitter in one of those games. It was who's the guy that bowls the leg cutters? Prasad. I reckon he did it in a game too. I once went looking for the weirdest pinch hitters in cricket and I found a bunch of random ones. But the point being that Ford has got those sort of skills. Akil Hussain could do it. Gurdakesh Mothy, all these guys can do this and would have been even more chaos. And they went for the one guy that no one expected. It was a bold move and it paid off. The issue was that Shai Hope at the other end ruined all of that forward momentum by putting in like a Shai Hope of like 2017 innings.
Yeah, I mean, look, he scores 32 of 33, so that's 5.3 overs, and that's just 32 runs in a game where West Indies nearly touched 200. So I think that knock did cripple them a bit, and it was nice to see cameos from everyone, although Romario is wasted, never gets to bat today, and he has been in some really, really good hitting form. But that partnership between, Jason Holder and Rovman Powell that really set West Indies up, it's just that even when we were watching the first inning, Saad and I were like, 200 is the absolute minimum West Indies need, because this is a flat deck. And they'll be due, and India are a terrific batting team. We didn't know that only Sanju will turn up, right?
Yeah, I think if West Indies had a better bowling lineup. I actually think 200 was probably slightly above par. It's just not par above par for their bowling lineup, right?
Yeah.
They just don't have a lot of great bowling options in that side. And so I think for them, you really have to go above and beyond with that kind of score. So I'm not surprised that India struggled and you know, didn't do this comfortably, because I did think it was a bit of a tricky chase. I mean, it's a high chase anyway in a game where you have to win. So you're always a bit more tense than you are anywhere else. Then, you know, Abhishek just couldn't work out what to do. So he set them back a little bit, as we said before. And then Ishan Kishan didn't come off, right? So it changed the dimensions of the way that India play. The fact that Ishan doesn't make any runs, Abhishek chews up a lot of dot balls again. And I know it's a very small thing, but I mentioned this in my video. Sanjay doesn't face any balls in the power play, guys. I could be wrong, and I don't know if Varun could check this while we're on. I think there's a 10-ball period in the power play where he doesn't face a ball. It might not be 10. It might have been 8 or 9. But I remember going at one stage looking up going, I cannot remember the last time this dude faced a ball. He faces almost all of Akhil Hassan's over, right, and smashes that everywhere. And that's basically all he does in the power play. I think he ends up with 13 balls in the power play. Right, he just doesn't face anything, and so the one guy who's in form is at the wrong end.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite fascinating to see how Abhishek only tried for 2-3 balls, right? And he was having a shit day already. Like, this was just a bad outing for him. You could see his face in the dugout as well. He was tense because he dropped 2 catches, both of which should have been snapped up. And then he scored 10 off 11 in an innings where no one could make sense of it, because that is not how Abhishek bats.
I think he both of his boundaries were mishits too. So there was one over cover, and then there was one on the leg side. Like, it just didn't have that sharpness. And look, these things happen, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's the fact that him and Ishan Kishan both didn't come off. And then Sanju couldn't get on strike was probably the defining factor of the early part.
So Jared, to answer your question, it was from 3.4 to 5.2 he doesn't get strike. And Abhishek also faces the first 10 balls of the power play.
How many balls? Was I wrong? Did I undercount?
No,
so
I think you're right.
So Abhishek is 10 of 10 initially.
Yeah.
In the start, he doesn't get it. And there is another period where he doesn't face, like 10 ball period, where he doesn't get any strike. As also, there's almost 2 streaks of 10 balls where he doesn't get a lot of strike or any strike, actually.
That's crazy. That's such a weird pattern. And so if you think about it, India want to maximize the power play, right? And they've got 3 guys to maximize the power play. One can't get going at all. The other one is out really quickly. And the one guy who should be maximizing... This game could have been over in the power play if Sanju Samson had just faced deliveries.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I suppose it is obvious now that we have to move to Sanju Samson. I'm sure they're like 10 super chats on Sanju, so we can continue to bring them up as we discuss him. 26 ball 50 today and unbeaten on 97 off 50. It was an all-timer knock. You saw what it meant to him towards the end where he thanks Jesus and everything. Proper, you know, montage-worthy moments right over there. It was Sanju versus the West Indies, and he deserved the Player of the Match award as well. It was a phenomenal chanceless knock. First up, we've got Vidya Prasad, who says 97 off 50, unbeaten without any risk. Was not a catch-up knock either. It was not, because he scored his 50 off 26 balls. Why do we imagine the future of T20 batting to look like Abhishek and not today's Sanju? Well, this was like the knock of Sanju's life also. You have to factor that in. It's not regular Sanju. He really batted out of his skin.
If you want to know the difference, it's because it's 97 off 50 and it's not 97 off 30.
Yeah,
because the future of T20 batting is guys who could score 3 runs a ball now. It's not 2 runs a ball, if you want to know what the difference is. But this is why you want to play like Sanju Samson. Vid, it's worth going and having a look at the other video that will be up in the next 2 hours on the main site. But essentially, what we are talking about with him is he has this very unique ability that, you know, and me and Varun look at this stuff a lot. There aren't many players who can basically hit a boundary in every different direction of the ground consistently, right? And because he can do that, and he's one of the world's best players, what do we have him as? Is he the 5th best player playing the cover drive or the off drive, and the 7th best player through mid off or covers? It was in the piece anyway, Varun, when we were looking up the numbers.
7th for the cover drive, and we had him 6th for the mid off and cover region.
Yeah, so his ability to hit the ball where people don't put the field is next level because no one has a deep cover fielder. And that's where the technical aspect comes in. But the difference between what he can do and what Abhishek can do is that Abhishek can just, it doesn't matter where you put the fielders for Abhishek.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where T20 cricket is going. That's the Andre Russell method, right?
But in this particular game, I think Sanju paced his knock brilliantly. And not only was it a chances knock, it was a really elegant and classy knock. Some of those shots were really, really good to watch.
That's
right?
What I mean. It's the technical side of it that he has. And that is also, I think, one reason why me and Varun really like, I don't know why I'm putting all these words in Varun's mouth, but one of the reasons we really rate him is because he is a technically correct batter who actually still plays high intent. And generally, the technically correct batters do not play with high intent, right? They end up in the Kane Williamson, Babar Azam mold, right? And then when they have to score really quickly, they all score at two runs a ball. And we're like, well, why wait until that position when you could have done this earlier? And I think that's the big issue with that. Whereas Sanju, that's one of the reasons we really like him. And one reason why he's really hard to bowl to once he's in is because you can only put five fielders out, right? And yet he can hit four boundaries in six different areas of the ground at any stage, and seven really if you count fine leg as well. So he's always got this huge advantage over everyone else. And I think that's what you saw today was the technical class, right?
Yeah.
And also the ability to, once he's, because he hits, forget the Akhil Hasan over, right? I think after that he hit three boundaries in that over. He gets an edge, I think, away in the power play, one of his few power play balls after that. Then straight after the power play, he hits three straight boundaries to the left of long off, right? Mm. And once he hits the ball to the left of long off, that completely fucks up your field pattern, right? Mm. Because that's the gap. That's the hole in the field, because teams have a deep point or a deep cover point, a long off, and then they have three guys out on the leg side. Once you can hit the ball past long off over and over again, two things have to happen. You either have to move your long off really wide, which means there's a gap straight down the ground, or you have to move your deep point around all the way around to cover, which means you can slash a ball away. And I think he might have even brought his 50 up with one of those. And he can do that against pace and spin. So you can't set a field once he gets going. It really is a mastery of that. Now, we have to also accept, occasionally, he's going to whack the ball straight up in the air because he's trying to score really quickly. No one seems to accept that, but that is a part of what he does. Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Yeah, I think
No, you can speak.
No, I think the one thing I've noticed about him is one of the reasons I think he works as an opener better than he works as like a middle order batter is when he initially lofts the ball, it's a bit chippy and not full commit. Feel like that's what I know. Even today, I think was a bit different because the first ball he hit was like an absolute full send at it, right?
You know what I would call it? It's not chippy, it's kind of slappy sometimes when he's trying to loft the ball, right? But that kind of works as well in the power play. So I do agree with you. He is best utilized as an opener. But he was also oozing class today, right? Like some really of those stabby shots on the offside where he pierces the gaps on the offside, that was high class.
Yeah. I think what you guys are seeing is that he is a technically correct batter. And so he doesn't have that full swing through that you see with some of the other guys coming in, right? Who are literally swinging until the bat hits them.
He doesn't vibe with it.
What did Suryavanshi, I think Mark Butcher was talking about, if you have a look at his backswing, he literally hits himself on the back, he swings through. Whereas players are actually technically taught to chip, right? Like push through the ball, let the ball hit the bat and stop. And so that's what you're seeing. But yeah, look, I mean, as Brody says here, it was an incredible risk-free innings. And I think a lot of people didn't back him before. I think that was always a bit silly. He's always been an incredibly talented player.
Look, a lot of this has to do with the fact how initially when he was brought into the team in this little spell from the Asia Cup up until now. India were persistent on having Gill as the opener with Abhishek Sharma, and Sanju was just kind of floating around and did not have a role. And then he was slotted in as opener in the New Zealand series. That was the one series he got a chance to open, and he failed. And then everyone was on his case that kick him out, he's the worst ever. And I agree, Ishan had done so well that you probably open with him. But over here, he got a couple of opportunities. Even before today's knock, Sanju had scored some quick fire 20s. And today he just cashes in. So
I mean, he got dropped in this tournament, guys.
Yeah.
And the innings this reminds me of is the Mitch Marsh one, right? In 2021, when Mitch Marsh gets dropped. Yeah. And Australia's like, we have no idea what to do. Let's just bat him at first drop. And then he just wins the tournament for them.
But people have to realize that Sanju wasn't given a proper role initially. And then when he gave him his preferred opener role, he didn't hit form as soon as possible. And that's why he loses his spot. Sanju is perfectly suited to open the innings.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I also think in general, they've had Rishabh Pant, they've had Ishan Kishan, they have DK. So they've had three other wicketkeeping options, right? So anytime he hasn't been informed, they've just brought another wicketkeeper in. Yeah. Right? And it's the same at the top of the order. I mean, Shubman Gill was brought in because they wanted him to eventually become a captain by the look of it. Like, it didn't really make any sense. And so he doesn't have the long backing. And I think if you're going to have a player who you say, we want you to go out there and whack it, you actually need to back them. You know, we make fun of Brendan McCullum, but the Brendan McCullum theory, he broke it with Zach Crawley, but that basic theory makes sense, right? If we are going to tell you to go out and really attack, we are going to accept that you are going to fail more than other players. But when it comes off, we are going to win the game. And that's a really hard thing for players to do.
Yeah. Anyway, there's another super chat over here by Prudvi who says Sanju played an excellent anchor innings at a strike rate of 194. I can't think of many shots which were risky at all. I just feel like he was in complete command today. His control percentage is what, 88% today, Varun? Something like that?
Wow.
Yeah, so he,
you don't see many T20 innings like that, especially near two runs a ball.
You take anything more than 70, wouldn't be Jared, usually.
Yes, I mean, Abhishek is quite often in the 60s, right? Travis Head is usually low 70s. To be able to score at that rate for that long.
Like, that's like KL Rahul in the England Test Series level control percentages, right?
Yeah, there are Test players who made hundreds without an 80. I mean, don't make me go back and check some Rory Burns hundreds.
Every Dean Elgar innings.
Yeah, those are quite low control percentage. So, no, just, you know, and that's, that. As I said before, that's the technical mastery, right? He is a proper batter in a way that not everyone coming through is going to be in the future.
Yeah. Anyway, Sankalp with another Sanju super chat asks, do you think Sanju not playing many deliveries in the power play helped him today? Modern T20 anchory innings might have been holdout going too hard to start. Well, he did make use of some power play deliveries. He smashed Akil Hussain in that third over, right? I think if anything, had he played more power play deliveries, India would have been better off in this chase.
I actually think it was a good matchup for him in that he probably didn't have the guy who's going to bowl back of a length at him and make him play the hoik or the pull shot over and over again, right? Because even Matthew Ford, I know Matthew Ford is a swing bowler and he pitches the ball up a little bit more than those guys, but Matthew Ford's not going to cramp you up the same way that some, you know, Jofra Archer has done to him before.
He's also not express pace, right?
That's what I mean. He just doesn't have, and he doesn't bowl quite as short. So I think the matchup is fine. There is an argument, Sankalp, though, that might have, that not facing the power play balls, but it didn't look like he was holding himself back in the power play, right? Like,
also,
you know, so I mean, he might have only faced 13 balls, but he was like 25 off them. So he faced enough to go out.
Plus, if someone has scored a 50 off 26 balls and ends up unbeaten on 97 or 50, I wouldn't even call that an anchor innings. It just seems to be that way because we know how Abhishek and Ishan can bat, right? Yeah. And Sky.
I don't even think it's that because it was so in control, it looks anchory.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think that's what I think he meant.
Combination of those two. You're both right.
Usually, you know how we do the cumulative strike rate thing. This is basically like a straight line for most of it.
Yeah.
That's basically
the aesthetics of the knock make it look anchory, but it wasn't an anchor knock at all. He didn't anchor.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that it for the Sanju Super Chats? That less? I thought there'd be at least 10, guys. Let's just keep them coming, Rakshit. Keep bringing up the Super Chats. Let's let them drive the show today. Ranjit says, before this match, the talk was about Sanju not accelerating post-power play. Looks like he's sorted that out. Also, love Combox, guys. Thank you, Ranjit. Much love to you as well.
I didn't even think it was accelerating post-power play. He just kept getting out before he got to that part.
Yeah, he kept getting out in the power play.
I mean, the thing with him is he averages, what, about 24, 25. I mean, it might have gone up after today, but around that amount with a strike rate of 150. he was for a long time doing what Abhishek was doing before Abhishek was in the side, right? Mm. And to be fair, Rohit started doing it as well. And I just think that there was a lot of times where he would get those sort of 20 off 12s. And I know Deepak gets really angry with him, but I'm like, that's kind of what he's in the side for, mate. Like, I don't think you can have a go at him for that, because he doesn't really, the way he plays for India is actually not the way he plays for Rajasthan all the time. Right, yeah. He bats at first drop to begin with for Rajasthan, so it's a very different kind of role, and I don't think he's always naturally fitted. But the thing is that when it comes off, he's going to score those really really big scores, and that's probably why for India he's been a lot more boom than bust because of them trying to make him play a role that isn't quite 100% natural for him.
Even at one point, I remember he had like a series where he had only scored ducks and hundreds. Like that happened with Sanju. But anyway, once he gets going, as he did today, he's shown everyone how classy awesome he can be.
What was it? 300s and 2 ducks in 5 innings. That's what it was.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember this. RP asks, first Jemmy and now Sanju need to start actively dropping quality players before big tournaments, then bringing them back in crunch situations. Also, right wing trolls will have a tough day today. I mean, India has won. Everyone will have a good day today. But Sanju, you know, he has gotten a lot of undue hate recently for no reason at all, just because fans tend to be very reactionary.
He's also not from a particularly big power base fan group, is he? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the, you know, the Mumbai fans behind him, or the Delhi fans behind him, or the, you know, the Kolkata. And I mean that kind of doubly, Varun, right? Like, he's not from a big IPL team, and he's from an even smaller region in India, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's very rare I get the Kerala online, you know.
But he's got a very loyal fan base, though, Jared. Like, it's not
they're incredibly
volume,
loyal, but I've been there. They're not a lot of them. Right?
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
They are very, very loyal. And I'd say the same of Rajasthan, actually. Rajasthan has very loyal fans, but there's just not as many of them as there are for some of the other fan bases. And true. So I do think there is an element of that, you know, still. It's probably one of the things that India eventually needs to get beyond a little bit, which is that sort of the local side of things, you know, which is, this has caused problems for all cricket nations around the world. But I do think at times he gets worse press for failing than another very good player from a bigger market might, if that makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Next super chat then. Pretty sure we have a few more on Sanju. Subhajit Deen says, Sanju Samson, the new chase master, kept his cool, handy knocks from Surya, Tilak and Dubey. OG Bumrah is back. Ashdeep had a bad third over, but a great 19th. Yeah. Funnily enough, when Ashdeep was bowling that third over, I was praising him. I was like, he's been so phenomenal in the Super 8s. I was on a live show. He goes for 5 wides, then a 6, then another wide, then another 6. He goes for 22 runs and 3 balls, and I then start to question my jinxing powers, because that was just wild. But you know, Tilak scored India's second best knock today. I don't think Surya was good, and Dubey came right towards the end. Had the West Indies held on to some of those catches, maybe things could have been different. It was really poor fielding.
I mean, to be fair, India dropped some catches and that run out from Varun Chakravarti. I think if you're looking for deeper analysis here, I think there's still questions. The fact that Ashdeep doesn't look like a lock at the end, and it can go very, very right or very, very wrong is an issue. I don't know what Hardik Pandya's plan was today with his bowling at all. I think Jasprit Bumrah is still getting hit for sixes, and Jasprit Bumrah doesn't get hit for sixes. So that's certainly something you would have a look at. And Varun Chakravarti was unplayable for one over, and we were like, oh, wow, he's back. Mm. He's ended up with 1 for 40, right? So there are still lots of questions.
I think he missed his length a lot in this game. Yeah.
That
horrible bowling.
Over to
and his lines.
Hetmyer. Like, I think
Hetmyer annihilated him.
Well, I think Deepak was saying, you know, that this was the wrong over and it should have been Bumrah. And I was like, I think you could make that case. But the issue here is not the matchup. It's the fact that he's bowling half trackers outside off stump. Like, it was just the wrong deliveries. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard with spinners, Varun. And I know we don't have the full Hawkeye data. But my guess is he has missed his length more consistently in this series than we have seen before.
Yeah. And I mean, Ashdeep did come back well, right? Wide Yorkers in that 19th over, he barely goes for any runs.
There are good things happening.
Yeah, India have some things going for them, and some things haven't quite clicked. So there are questions going into the semis, but England is a team that you'd think that they should be able to beat.
The two favourites of the tournament today did not massively impress me in India and South Africa at various times. Now, South Africa, you might say, well, they rested a couple of players, and also there was a bit of a letdown because they knew it wasn't as important player, and they always beat Zimbabwe. Like, I get that. But I wasn't watching that game going, this is the team that everyone thinks should be the favourites in this tournament.
Again, but the issue is the problem was with the batting and not the bowling. And the batting was basically full strength, right?
You mean today?
Yeah, yeah, for today.
Even that, I mean, Sikander is the only, once Bennett went out, Sikander's the only international player that they had to go up against.
Yes.
And he bitch slapped them everywhere. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, although I've got to go soon. So I've only got 15 more minutes. But
you have to stick around. I have to go today.
Everyone has to go soon.
Yeah.
Byron is going to be on his own.
I'll be on my own. Yes.
But yeah, so I think both of the, you know, there were some question marks there with the way that those teams played a little bit today.
Also, just shout out to Sikander Raza. What a tournament he's had. Not the best captaincy tournament, but today, 73 of 43 and 3 for 29? He was the best batter of the game, best bowler of the game, and Zimbabwe still lost. South Africa still unbeaten in the competition.
So. I mean, since both of you have to go, do you want to just run through the Super Chats then?
Yeah, let's just run through the Super Chats. I think we've not taken this one, actually. Kagra, Super Chat has disappeared. says, not a fan of Sanju, but today's match shows there's a place for both Abhishek and Sanju. You need an Abhishek going berserk when you are setting a total, while you need a Sanju surgically chasing one. If Abhishek comes off in a chase, the chase is dead. Why do people not understand?
Yeah,
Sanju hasn't done this consistently. It was a great innings.
Yeah.
He's not like a reliable chaser, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Just because he's misremember.
If anything, he's the Abhishek Moldov. He's better in the first innings.
Exactly.
I'll say this. I remember looking this up years ago. The best chaser in T20 cricket was Chris Gayle, right? And no one ever called Chris Gayle a great chaser. Yeah. And it's because if he got going, it didn't matter what you'd set, right? So Abhishek can absolutely do that. And there's going to be other times when India lose 3 wickets in the first innings and Sanju is going to be able to get them through, right? So, look, I think they have 3 guys at the top of the order who all, if they face 50 balls, can win you a game. There aren't that many teams in the tournament, even at this stage of the tournament, that have that available to them, right?
Yeah.
That just have the ability for all 3 of the guys at the top of the order to, if they face 50 balls, it's almost impossible to beat them at that stage.
Hmm. Anyway, next Super Chat. We've got a lot of them to run through now that everyone has to leave early. Andy B, 2021, says, India travel to Mumbai tomorrow and play Wednesday. England have been there for a week. It's almost a road back-to-back. England should be an easy bet. No, I think that there is some turn-on offer at the Wankhede. Yes, the fast bowlers are going for plenty, but that pitch has turned. I've seen it turn. It's not that
simple. It definitely has helped spin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way I would bet on England if they were like 5 or 6 to 1. Otherwise, India's a better team at the moment. Look, England's so unpredictable. Who knows what is going to happen with them? And that might cause some issues. And India's not in great form. But no one is. There is not a single bookmaker in the world that will ever give you England as favourite for that game.
I mean, speaking of the 50 balls and winning things, Jared, England's top 3 is like that too, right? Where if usually one of them faces 50 balls, it's basically game done. But
yeah,
I don't know if Butler has missed 50 balls this tournament. But
I mean, probably not, right? I mean, Butler and Bethel could face 50 balls and you would still
beat them. I assume Brooke's their 3 now.
Birmingham. Oh, yeah, sorry, Brooke is their 3. Yeah, no. But I mean, certainly Salt and Brooke. Yeah, I would give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, Butler, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he gets to 50 balls at this point.
The one thing you could possibly say is that for both West Indies and England to defeat India, they have to outbat India. West Indies were a bit short today, even though Holder and Rovman were phenomenal in that last partnership. But England also need to outbat India with a slightly better bowling lineup. You could say that.
Sure.
Yeah, anyway. Corner Taken Quickly says, why is Sky dropping so many anchors off late? Is there less intent or is he not able to convert? Maybe he's
long
trying
story.
To... Yeah, so shoulder responsibility as captain.
No, to sum it up quickly, Sky needs the bolt for the spinners to bolt him at the stump so he can sweep. If the spinners are bowling wide, he has no boundary option, so he gets stuck a bit. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. VR Tana says, given team's known strengths, how do ICC curators balance pitch prep to avoid even unintended bias in a final? Thinking 2023 to a final as an example. I don't know how to answer that one.
I mean, they're not really trying to stop the pitches helping different sides. What they're trying to do is make sure that the pitch isn't changed towards being very helpful for one team. Does that? I hope that makes more sense. So, for instance, England would never have ordered the pitch at Cardiff in the 2017 Champions Trophy, right? Yet that was a home game for them. You know, India, I mean, there were, you know, there's obviously rumors that India was involved in that pitch in 2023. It still didn't go their way. But when it comes down to it, that's actually what the ICC are trying to do. They're trying to make sure that the pitch makes sense. And then The other interesting thing is that for whatever reason, the ICC only seem to like wickets. They don't seem to like any runs. And I think, again, they're trying to make sure the balance. So they're not trying to stop it from being biased for any one team, because every pitch could be biased towards any one team. What they're really trying to do is make sure that it's a wicket that is very normal for that surface, that it isn't biased to if there's a home team, and also that bat and ball play a part. That's what they are trying to do.
Yeah. All right, next Super Chat. Got Akshu, who says, feels like the West Indies overcompensated for the collapse against South Africa and were too cautious at the start. Made the difference, in my opinion. I did feel like Shea Hope really crippled them, and West Indies were, what, 45 for no loss in the power play. That was all Roston Chase, right?
Like, I was gonna
say, he was the one.
I'm not sure that you would say the West Indies overcompensated, because Roston Chase was sent in to slog.
Yeah.
Right? So the West Indies did not. It'd be really interesting to hear what Darren Sammy says about the Shea Hope innings, which, I mean, obviously publicly he probably won't say anything, but it would be interesting to know, because my guess is actually that the idea was for them to go harder than they did, and one of them did and one of them didn't. So I didn't feel like they were trying to overcompensate for what happened against South Africa. I felt like Shea Hope couldn't get away.
I think what he's trying to say is that throughout the course of the first 15 overs, West Indies were behind, right? 45 for no loss in the power play.
Oh, they
in 10 overs, they were 82 for 1. And in 15 overs, they were 125 for 4. They scored 70 runs for the loss of no wickets in the last 5 overs. That's what gets them to 195.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is Shea Hope batting forever and not making any runs, right? So if you take him out, the second thing that happens that slows them down is that Hetmyer is absolutely on one when he comes out, right?
Yeah.
And Roston Chase stops. So there is an element of, at times, they were probably never going from both ends until Rovman and Jason Holder were batting at the end. So there is probably an element of that playing a part as well. And then they also had the two set batters go out, within the same over? Was it the same over?
It felt like the same over, right?
Was it Bumrah?
Yeah, Bumrah over. The Bumrah over.
Same over, right?
Yep, I remember the Bumrah over.
Again, you're going to have a natural sort of slowdown after that. So there's actual reasons for it. But no, they did the opposite of a slowdown. They were trying to go quickly. But Shea Hope got trapped. And look, Abhishek Sharma made 10 off 10 today. People can do that, right? And it happens. There were lots of players who actually didn't score that quickly on this surface.
Yeah, true. And India didn't have the best of power plays. They were 53 for 2. But they were ahead in every single phase, in the sense that they never needed more than 10 runs and over. They capped it over there. Anyway, drop Varun for Kuldeep, says Kaushal Talpati, or not Alvaconda. He definitely has to play. No, you don't. No.
Not definitely not the Wankhede. This was probably the pitch, but not at the Wankhede. Not against England.
He came in to this World Cup as the best bowler in the world, and you drop him now and Kuldeep gets smashed.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to win World Cups.
No, I would keep Varun. And I would keep Abhishek as well. Hey, Jared, can you ask your friend at Cricviz to drop Abhishek's power/timing by 10 to 15? That would be lovely. Seems to have worked wonders for Tilak.
He's smashing off spinners now, so it clearly worked.
It was 17 or something, wasn't it, that it went? For those who don't know, it was put up on the screen at 97 for Tilak Varma. For which one was 97?
And it was 97 was the game in which he doesn't do too well. And then when it's 79, he smashed.
It was supposed to be 79, so they flipped it over. But they got two of his numbers wrong. They got one of the other ones wrong as well. Look, these things happen. And I don't know if that's Cricviz's fault or Sunset and Vine's fault or whoever. But someone put it up on the screen incorrectly. As I said, me and Varun make these mistakes all the time. It's just that it's not on a broadcast. I mean, Varun makes these mistakes all the time. I never have.
Also, did you see Romario Shepherd being 92 threat, Jared?
Yeah, I did. I was like, damn, one less than Jimmy Neesham, Romario. All right.
Still couldn't get to the great Jimmy Neesham's record. I mean, to be fair to Romario Shepherd, he does get wickets. It's just that they go at 95 runs and over.
True.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Karthikeya June Jane says, we fought hard and lost to a better team. A decent campaign on to qualifying for the ODI World Cup and the winnable test series against Pakistan, Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. Those are three winnable test series for the West Indies. And I think it was a really good campaign. If you think about it, they lost to South Africa and India. They defeated, the only test playing nation they defeated was England. But that was a really good win at the Wankhede. They could have won this game had they scored maybe 15, 20 more runs, perhaps.
I think they played good cricket. I don't think they're a great side. I think, you know, we saw some of the
bowling really overperformed this tournament, right?
Yeah. I thought they bowled really well. And then they occasionally batted well. If I'm a West Indies fan, I'm pretty happy with this tournament, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely good campaign.
Yeah, if you had time, I'd be going on my resources rant.
Yeah, well, you know, Mothi was bowled for 2 overs and they went for 18. And Matt Ford bowled 3 power play overs, none for 22. Maybe some more overs for those people, but that's it. That's the only bit of criticism I can come with respect
Rob
to bowling
kept
plans
today. In a chat that Mothi should bowl one of the death overs, right?
Rob loves to up the volatility. He's rubbed off on you so much, Varun. You've started to use that phrase.
I definitely have, yes, 100%. Yeah. He's gotten me onto his fielding into his suit, by the way.
Oh, I really hope there's a fielding super chat somewhere because I want to talk about that stuff. Arnav Jindal over here says, given the trend of the flat pitches on all T20s outside World Cups, so how can teams prepare when they know ICC spices the pitches almost all the time? Don't prepare flat decks in preparation for these events.
I mean...
Wow! Who would have thunk?
I mean... Yeah, that's basically
we
it.
We also
right?
don't want to do we'll go Bangladesh shit and go only 140 games either. So there's a balance.
You don't want a Bangladesh shit ever.
Yeah. You never fool Bangladesh.
Yes. Corner taken quickly with another super chat says, taking into account tournament form, semi final venues, and matchups, who are your favorites for the two semi finals? I think India versus South Africa should be the final if the two best teams make it.
I'd be surprised if those teams don't make the finals.
Yeah.
Final. Okay.
What do we have next? We've got Mr. Stone Cold 1122. West Indies bowled some good Yorkers today, which was a pleasant surprise. They should be proud of their campaign generally. Isn't that why they have Shamar? He's just a Yorker merchant, isn't he? Pace on, Yorkers.
I don't know what Shamar is, to be honest. I'm not sure Shamar always knows what he's about to bowl, which does make him very hard to plan against.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on to the next one. We've got Srinath SV, who says, what the hell are the odds of India winning this tournament now? So before the Zimbabwe game, when they had to win 4 in a row, the odds of India winning it all were 35%. I don't know what they are now. Jared probably knows.
Of winning the tournament?
Yeah, so winning 2 in a row.
They were 35% before the tournament started. I would have thought they would have gone up early and come down. I would have to work it out. But yeah, I would have thought they'd still be favourite. I'd be shocked if South Africa has gone beyond them.
Okay. Maybe you can check in the meantime. Till then, I'll take the super chats. Triple Stroke says, man of the match is Hope. Romario didn't even come to bat. Yeah, we talked about it, how Hope really crippled the West Indies. And when Romario or a guy like Romario Shepherd is wasted with the bat, you do feel it a bit. But then you can't tell either of Holder or Rovman to go out when they're striking it big, right? There's that as well.
I don't really know when people expected him to come out and bat. They sent Holder out because it was early in the innings.
And he did well.
And that made sense. And they both scored around 2 runs a ball as well. So I don't really understand how they should have done that differently for people.
Yeah, well, Mr. Stone Cold has another super chat here. He says, India tactically missed a trick when they bowled Ashdeep for the 16th. When they could have gone for a wicket with Varun, Powell couldn't handle him. That is kind of true. Rovman Powell was struggling versus Varun, but then again, not a very, very grave mistake, I would say.
Sorry, I'm looking up the other thing. I wasn't listening to the word you said.
It probably is because he is set by the time he faces Varun again. Well, right, so it's easier for him to hurt him.
Fair enough. And I mean, we didn't know Ashdeep would all of a sudden bowl 5 wides, then go for 6, then bowl another wide, then
that's
go for 6.
True.
Like, yeah, that was kind of weird. And if you were on the Pro Sports Live, it was hilarious because I was talking him up, Ashdeep. I was like, he's been so good in the Super 8s. And all of a sudden, bam. Broti with another Super Chat says, India is not winning this tournament with that outfield catching. Though finally, someone has given me an opportunity to go over the drop catches because that's one of my favorite segments on here. Before we talk about the catches, though, the Varun run-out chance was bad. Chase should have been run out. He hit or sent the ball down the wrong end. So that run-out chance, after which Abhishek drops Roston Chase on 14. Then Rutherford is dropped on 1 by Tilak, although that was a bit of a tough opportunity. Rolf Barron will say it was easy, but it was tough. Rovman was dropped on 27 by Abhishek again. So that's 3 drops and a missed run-out chance. And India have not been a good fielding team in recent times. I've watched them quite closely. They get the odd really good game, but their fielding has been all over the shop, and that could be one of their weaknesses. But then the West Indies weren't too far behind, were they? Shimron Hetmyer was amazing. He took 3 catches out of his 2 catches was spectacular, and Rutherford held on to a diving catch as well, which was really good. But Mothi dropped Sky off his own bowling when Sky was on 17, didn't hurt them. Holder dropped Pandya, though, when Pandya was on 9, and if Shivam Dubey comes out to bat early, things could have potentially gotten spicy, right? And there were plenty of misfields for the West Indies as well. Like Rutherford might have taken a great catch, but the misfield was bad. And there were a few, two or three misfields that went for four. And that sort of stuff is going to cost you versus a better team. So you could say India maybe made the more mistakes, but West Indies being sloppy is something they couldn't have afforded because they're not the better side.
There's been some pretty shit fielding in this tournament. Yeah. It doesn't seem to have held back the teams who've been fielding shit so fast. So, look, yeah. I mean, you can easily drop an important catch and get stuffed in this tournament from here on in. But it seems like at the moment, people have done it a lot.
I mean, Robbie was also talking about the other day. Not the other, like, the cricketer Rob, not Rob Barron. He always talks about it. Good username doesn't exist, says, I do not care who won. I'm just happy that Shamha was hit like a drum at heavy metal concert. Yeah, I can feel the sentiment. Definitely
lots
can.
Of people, I think, when they're watching him now, feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ribu Ganguly says, at what point do we start saying that Abhishek Sharma has been found out? Have analysts seen any signs or is he still sick? Or LOA excuse? I don't know what LOA means, but it's the nature of the beast. The way he bats,
law
he's going to have failures.
Assume?
Oh, law of averages, yeah. Law of averages is what I'm making of this. Maybe there's a bit of a weakness versus off spin, perhaps, but that's about it, man. Abhishek is an anomaly.
Did they play in the last game?
India?
Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Didn't he make runs in that game?
He did make runs. Yeah. It was a slow 50 for Abhishek, but a fast 50 for everyone else.
His strike rate was still around 200, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, 55 off 30.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I mean, he's allowed to have bad form.
More, he does look more cautious versus spin, if anything.
Also, you have to factor in that this is...
He doesn't look in great form at the moment, but that's, you know.
I also,
you can't be in great form all the fucking time.
Yeah, no, I also get the him like being Abhishek. Sick and him not having the same power thing. That kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah,
it does look like he's not getting a lot
also,
of power.
Also, there could be a bit of tournament pressure as well. Today, I felt there was a bit of it, right? Dropping two catches and then going block, which we never see from him. It's his first ICC event. He'll get over these nerves eventually because India is a really good team at managing that. They know how to bring out their best on big occasions, as we've seen so frequently these days. I need Rob Barron comment on hit my wicket, says Mohammed Bilal. So, a fair few of us don't think that was out.
I didn't think it was out at all.
I didn't either.
I watched
the replay. I watched the Twitter images. I saw some daylight between ball and bat, guys.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing of, I don't think umpires are really very good. I'm not going to go into my normal third umpire rant here, but I don't think the umpires are very good at, once they see a spike, they're like, oh, he must have hit it. And it's like, no, you then have to make sure the ball was near the bat. And Wasn't Macram did this on the commentary yesterday. We talked about it, right? Where he was like, oh, there's a spike. He's out. And I'm like, that's not what that means. That means it was a noise at the right time. Now we have to investigate. And I think too often umpires probably make that mistake. To be honest, I also, you know, the LBW that Chakravarti had not long after that, I thought was absolutely plum. And I can't believe there's any umpire in the world that would not give that out.
I would have raised my finger.
In this tournament, I've seen that where I've just been like, and then it's like clipping leg. And I was like, yeah, but if you move, Rodman just moved across his stumps and was hit in front of middle stump. You have to give that out.
He looked stone dead to me. I thought he's even going to get out on DRS, but he didn't.
It was pretty funny, though, that like everyone's like, the game is being cheated for India. And then 2 seconds later, everyone was like, oh, we thought that was hitting.
Upamanyu Sen Gupta says, was this the fourth best Indian T20 knock after 2007 UV in semi-final versus Australia to 2016 Kohli versus Australian Mohali and 2022 Kohli in MCG? This was one of the best knocks of this edition of the T20 World Cup.
I rate Rohit's 92 or 41 very high, too.
Versus Australia? Previous World Cup?
Last one.
Yeah, really good knock.
I was thinking about that one. I don't remember.
It was a big game. High stakes. Quarterfinal, essentially, right? Virtual quarterfinal. I think Sanju will definitely make my top three. I have to think about
this. If you had to have a drink every time someone called it a virtual quarterfinal today, you'd be fucking hammered.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's like Rob Uthappa saying patchy on comms, right? Patchy, patchy, patchy.
You're the only one who heard
Your
that.
Liver
I still
is
never
done.
Heard that.
Yeah, really? It was like five times in the same breath. I think I'd take Sanju's knock slightly ahead of Harry Brook because it's the knockout element in this tournament. Okay. Saswatosan asks, do you think left-right-hand combo up top has made any difference for India? They've gone left, though, initially, and now Sanju's back. So,
look, it plays a part. It makes it harder for teams to scheme against you with their bowling lineups. So, like, West Indies had to take a big risk today bringing in two left-arm finger spinners because of that. So, And whereas you know, when you had two right-handers opening the batting for the West Indies, they could use Akshar Patel before Shimron Hetmyer came in. So it's things like that that you probably don't always notice as a fan, but make a big difference when you're in, you know, as an analyst for people like me and Himi.
Okay. I mean, I definitely think left-right combos do help in T20s more though than the other formats. RP says, drop Abhishek in semi-final, need to penalize bad fielding. What is wrong with you guys?
I'm not sure anyone could play in the finals at this stage based on some of the fielding we've seen in this tournament. Yeah. Do you remember when the women played the World Cup and everyone's like, women's fielding's really bad, and then there's this men's World Cup's come and it's just like, oh my God, here we go again. Yeah.
Shiva Subramaniam asks, Jared, has Abhishek been found out or is it just a mental thing? Will he come good in semis and finals? Do we need to repeat ourselves?
Can I just say one thing? He was probably in the form of his life a month ago, guys.
Yeah.
Right? How can we be a month later saying he needs to be dropped? Right? Like, how can we be saying that he's found out? A month ago, he was the most discussed batter on the planet.
Hmm. All right, Gargi with a super chat asks, at what point do you select Kuldeep Yadav over Varun Chakravarty? A semi-final? I don't know, man. I might even consider playing them both because pacers go for runs at the Wankhede. We have seen some turn for spinners, though. That's how I'd be thinking.
What are Kuldeep Yadav's figures in this tournament? Because everyone keeps asking.
He's done well, but you know, he hasn't played much, right? The Pakistan game, he was really good, but he came into the game when the game was over.
Because I remember not that long ago, Daryl Mitchell dumping him back over the boundary over and over again, and everyone telling him that Kuldeep was done, right?
Yeah.
So how have we gone from a position where Kuldeep is done to a position where Kuldeep needs to be over Varun Chakravarty? I just feel like, as fans, we do not learn any lessons from watching cricket, right? I think, as I said, it would be a craziness to drop Varun Chakravarty, right? Now, the game that you might drop him for is the final. If you think that for whatever reason he's a bad matchup against South Africa and you have better matchups that you can bring in. Hmm. But I will go back to what I said yesterday or the day before, whenever it was when people brought this up. South Africa dropped Alan Donald in 1996 World Cup so they could play a better matchup against Brian Lara, and Brian Lara shish kebobbed Paul Adams. Right? Pick your best bowlers.
Honestly,
Varun Chakravarty is in your best two bowlers.
Yeah, I feel like England suck versus spin, so you might as well play both spinners at the one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have no problem with Kuldeep coming in. I kind of would play Kuldeep quite a bit at the moment. But also, Hardik bowled weird today, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not bad, but just weird.
It's good to have two different kinds of really good spinners when you're facing England on a surface, which has shown us some turn. Vaishak says, India always had a Mallu luck in their world champion teams. Srisanth? Is he what he's referring to, I guess?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know about the ethnicities, guys. I generally tend to stray away from those conversations. Just Jyot Singh with a super chat says, another India versus England semi in third in a row in T20s. I feel India is under pressure. Chase in semis will be difficult against better bowling lineup.
I love the idea that England's not under pressure. It's a World Cup semi-final. What are you guys missing here? Everyone's under pressure. There is not a human being who's going to go out on that field that is not under pressure. India play under pressure in bilateral games.
Yeah.
Also, how much better is the bowling, England's bowling attack than West Indies?
Jofra's the best seamer across both teams.
Jofra's
not the best seamer.
If Adil has a good Jofra's very good. Which West Indian seamer would you take?
I can't imagine a worse venue for Adil than Wankhede against
West Indies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's comparing England with the West Indies.
You can't actually work out. Yeah, if the thing with England is that
Will Overton come back, Jared?
He was out of the last game, wasn't he? Because
Rehan played.
Overton probably comes back in, I think. Although, how do you drop Rehan now?
England has a bowling attack. Yeah, exactly. And Rehan will get hammered by India probably unless the pitch is massively in his favour.
Mm-hmm.
England have a bowling attack that can go for 250 very, very easily. They have a batting lineup who, on paper, can score 250, right?
Yeah.
If it's that kind of game, then India win it easily. If it's not, and it's a gritty game, anyone from either of these sides can tense up, right? Josh Butler could end up playing the Shai Hope innings, yeah?
Or Josh Butler could finally come into some form, right? England will be hoping that happens. Adi the Buck Catcher, thank you for the super chat, buddy. It's a generous one. Says, watched a cricket game after 2 weeks today. Was worth watching Sanju bat like this. When he bats like this, it's fun to watch. Also, Abhishek still hasn't fired yet, so good news for India, I guess. I like your way of thinking. Law of averages.
Did make
inevitably,
runs in the last
he
game.
Has to fire.
Literally made runs in the last game.
Yeah, he did. But Sanju other than wasn't that, quick to watch, though.
At least it's a positive way of looking at it.
Yeah. All right. Do we have another super chat?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we not? We have Shreyas Joshi, Joshi, who says, love your analysis, guys. Just a suggestion. Behram, please get a mic. There's the mic.
Yeah.
Jofra is going to run through the top three in the semis.
Yeah.
Team of Samson will be fun, though. I think that's the one I can see.
That's a good one. That's a good matchup for England. Yeah. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
They're teammates, aren't they?
Yeah, but Jofra knows how to bowl to him. We saw that about a year ago, right? So that will be fascinating.
Yeah. All right. Next super chat, please. We've got Isaac Koshi, who says, are we not one bowler short, especially since we are not looking to get our one all-rounder to bowl? I don't think India need to use their sixth bowler.
How do you know it's India? He didn't say which team.
That's also fair.
I do think the West Indies is one all-rounder short.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe he's talking about Zimbabwe.
Maybe
we don't want bowler short.
I mean, don't say this out loud because it's very possible that Gambhir will bring Washington Sundar in for Varun Chakravarti next game.
Yeah, you never know. Just to add more batting.
I don't think they want bowler short though, because Hardik Pandya is a fifth bowler, right?
Yeah, I don't think they
so
are.
So I think I get a little bit more iffy when, and I understand why they do this, because I think their three best bowlers are probably Jasper, Kuldeep and Varun Chakravarti. But I get a bit iffy when they go in with that lineup and they have Akshar and then suddenly they end up with Hardik as the second seamer. That's probably when I look at it as light, but I don't look at it as light. I mean, my God, Australia had Marcus Stoinis opening the bowling. I'd take Hardik Pandya a million times out of five with that option.
I think India went unchanged today, which was the
Brian
right call.
Brian Bennett's been bowling
change.
In this fucking tournament, people. What are we talking about here? Everyone's a bowler short. I'm
but
not even sure Corbin Bosch is very good. And the man gets wickets every time I watch him.
I don't know why you do not like Corbin Bosch, by the way. I quite rate
no,
him.
No, I don't like his batting.
Talented cricketer. If they do bring in Kuldeep, who misses out, though? Because you wouldn't want to get rid of Arshdeep, I guess. It's a tough one.
It has to be him. Unless they get rid of Dhingra for Kuldeep.
They're not going to sacrifice the 8-3 formation. That's what Gambhir does. No. Anyway, Midlife Mazza says, why are overthrow runs allowed if a fielder hits the wickets and the ball ricochets? Can boundaries be standardized to 65 to 70? Bowlers need the help.
Why bowlers need help? No one's actually scored that many runs in this tournament. Like, if you make pitches that have help, that's fine. Otherwise, it would be you would just hit the stumps every opportunity you get to stop people ever taking runs. And it just doesn't make any sense, right? The balls would just be flying around all the time. Would there be long pauses while we wait for the ball to be picked up from the boundary? It's not a good way to have a dead ball. The MCC have looked at this before. There are so many unintended reasons why that can't happen. The boundaries can't all be 65 to 70 meters because there are many stadiums that have been around for 100 years that do not have the space.
Yeah, Lords, right?
Lords is one of the main reasons, but there are heaps of grounds around the world that are just, we'd have to move grandstands. It's like, you're talking about a multi-billion dollar thing. And also, isn't it more fun that they're not? I always think that's one of the great things about baseball as well, right? If you have the ability to actually have something that's non-regular, you have to adjust to it.
All right. Shresht has a question. What pitch would be Wankhede and Eden for semis? I don't have the answer to that. I think Wankhede might offer spin, but I also have to drop, guys. Battery's dying. You have to finish the super chats on your own.
Yep.
So cheers, guys.
Okay.
Congratulations to all Indian viewers and listeners. And let's hope we get some cracker of knockout games. All right. Bye-bye.
See you, mate.
See you.
I don't know what the pitches are going to be. I barely got through these two games today, if we're being honest. Sudhi says, India paces can't consistently bowl defense, even after South Africa showed the template. Baffling with the amount of experience, isn't it? Do you feel they bowl defensive today?
No, I don't. I think Ashley bowled his normal length, right?
Yeah.
Are you not supposed to bowl the good length in the power play, Jared?
Yeah, I thought he was
bowling. Is that all you're supposed to do?
Yeah, so I didn't see anything in there that was massively defensive. I mean, I think Chakravarti is more of a defensive bowler at his best. I don't know what he was bowling at times today. And Hardik, I still don't know what Hardik's plans were. So I wasn't sitting there going that they were bowling defensive. Wesley says, if India win the World Cup, is this the greatest T20 side of all time? I don't know.
It would be interesting because it's not, because the teams don't overlap a lot between 2024 and 2026 if they do win it.
It's also, that is actually quite fair as well. I think that's a fascinating question to ask. I don't think it's wrong, but I'm not sure I can give you a perfect answer to that one. Anav says, Jared, what do you think is South Africa really a better team than India, or was it a good day? I don't think South Africa is a better team than India, no. I've been very clear on that from the beginning. I think I think India is the best team in this tournament.
He's been so clear on it that South African fans think Jared hates them.
Yeah. And when, despite the fact that, yeah, anyway. S. Fish says, the last time someone new came into the team against the odds like Sanju and set the tournament alight was Shammy for Pandya in 2023. He's not really new into the team, is he? Though, Sanju? Been around?
I think he means he was in the bench and he comes in and wins you games like that. I guess that's what he means. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
I mean, you see that a lot with fans, Jared. Once you start doing well, people find parallels to other times you do well. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Just
says, do you guys think we're seeing more drops because there are more opportunities in a game with players attacking more nowadays? You guys know the numbers, but curious why all teams seem to be worse. There's a lot more games being played at night. It's a much harder to catch at night than it is in the daytime. And people never, ever factor that in. Ask any player in the world about what it's like when the ball goes up.
Yeah, maybe teams are hitting the ball harder. That's one thing we don't really track well.
I would also, I think that that's also fair. I think players cover more ground now, so they get to more balls than they ever got to before.
Also, they can check something. Are the balls going higher than they usually do? Because they do have the data for that on their end, right?
Only for World Cups. And I don't know if anyone keeps any of that data. So
that's fair.
Not 100% sure. What's wrong with Hotspot? Too expensive or unreliable? Prakar, you can game Hotspot. You can actually put Vaseline on the side of your bats. It also, if the bat hits the pad, it's really hard to check, or if the bat hits the ground and all these sorts of different things, it can be a little bit tricky. If we actually were realistic, though, we would have Snicko and we would have, Ultra Edge. We would never have Snicko. We'd have Ultra Edge and we'd have Hotspot. It is quite expensive and it should be used. And I don't know why it's not used is probably the best one. But it also would make it slower because there'd be another thing that we'd have to go through. Ritum says, Sanju played 12 fours, only four sixes, three in the power play, and the last over with fielders in the circle requiring seven off six. Fast outfield in Eden, trust the placement, ultimate confidence to not slog sixes. As we said before, he doesn't actually play through the line in order to hit sixes. He's actually quite a traditional player in the way he hits the ball. That's one of the reasons why you see that with him. Sivia says, what about JSR celebrating impartial much? I mean, is that the worst celebration we've seen recently? What about Kash Patel with the USA?
I think
men's
I missed this.
He's the FBI director. Is like celebrating with the men's hockey team when they've won. But also I was like, you didn't fucking win, dickhead. Get the fuck out. Let them fucking... You go in, you say, congratulations, guys, really big... And then you fuck off. You don't sit there. Anyway. Good use says Liam Dawson, man of the match in the semis, put money on it. Well, we'll talk to Rob about that one. He might have better odds for you. Ajikya says, why did Akil not bowl more? Bad captaincy. Is that a matchup thing?
There were two right-handers,
they got hammered,
right?
In the power play, right? Where they wanted
Sanju, I think that's why. I think they got spooked when Sanju smashed him. Yeah.
Probably that, isn't it? More than anything else.
Yeah.
Vague says, notice the tiny micro movements in Sanju's technique. What's
he was shivering. I think I said he was shivering like a crackhead in the chat.
And now you said it out loud.
Yes.
Do crackheads shiver? I feel like
I assume
heroin
they
addicts.
Would, right? From withdrawal, right? Yeah.
Oh, withdrawal. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Abby says, Surya seems very conservative as a captain in the field. I don't think he's a very aggressive captain, but I'm not sure conservative is the word that I would use.
I think he's also very creative. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think he's fine. I don't hate him or I love him as captain.
Mick Lebowski says, just want to say I enjoy the combos and combox more than the games themselves most days. Keep up the great work. Wow, that is very, very nice. Unfortunately, the conversations would be crap if we didn't have the games. Actually, that's not true. Our best podcasts are about such random stuff, especially when it comes to me and Byron. We'll be back. I think we're going to try and do some semifinals previews. We'll be back for the semifinals and the finals as well. We've got a bunch of other content. If you want to hear more about Sanju Samson...
Oh, we got one more.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a sec. If you want to hear more about Sanju Samson, we on the Good Areas channel, there's a video that I've just made that will come up in the next few hours. So have a look at that. RTM King says, what's up with the ICC preparing slow pitches in the last three or four? Not much pace or spin, but slower off the surface. They've been just producing bowler-friendly wickets. Any way that you like it. Pace off. all sorts of things for a very long time. I don't really understand the ICC wickets, and I don't know who I need to talk to like have a conversation with them.
Yeah,
but
to be fair, this World Cup has been a lot better for batting than the last one, right? Last one was horrible.
Yeah, but the last one was, it went from CPL levels to really bad. This one's gone from IPL levels to like a World Cup level. Like there's always a drop, isn't there? Like every time you watch a tournament
9.6 versus 8.9, if I remember correctly, I want to say, in India, for runs per over.
0.7 runs per over.
Yeah, but like, what was it? New York was like, it went from like, what was it? 8 to like 5.
New York wasn't even a pitch. New York was cow shit that they paid billions of dollars for. Isaac says, come on, guys. Yeah. India's not looking at utilizing a supposed all-rounder. Dubey to bowl a single over more. Dubey should open the bowling, open the batting, and do everything that he needs to. I don't think he bowls enough. I think there should be a rule in this World Cup that allows Shivam Dubey to bowl 5 overs a game. That's Varun.
Do we want Shivam Dubey to bowl?
I want 6 overs a game. 7 overs a game. I want Shivam Dubey to bowl from one end. My dad always tells me that before they brought in regulations for limited overs cricket, him and his mate would just open a bowling from each end and just bowl unchanged. That's what I want to see from Shivam Dubey over and over again. Thank you to everyone for your chats, your super chats, and your love. We will see you again very, very soon here on Combo. Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.